Hallelujah. 1 Corinthians chapter 4, continue on our service in the gospel, our service in the local church, our service, the ministry of our Lord Jesus Christ. 1 Corinthians chapter 4. Praise the Lord. Are you still there? Say glory.
Glory.
Say glory.
Glory.
Amen. 1 Corinthians 4 and verse 1. Let a man so account of us as of ministers of Christ, stewards of the mysteries of God. A steward is a manager. A steward is one that you entrust a duty, a message, an activity to. As God's servants, we are stewards. There's nothing that we have that is of our own self. We are only managers, caretakers, trustees of God's resources, God's word, God's people. We are called shepherds, Acts 20:28, to feed the church of God, which he has purchased with the blood of his own. We are stewards. That's what we are. In John 21, in instructing Peter, John 21:16, 17, 15, 16, 17, he says, lovest thou me more than this, feed my lamb, feed my flock, feed my lamb. Consistently. It's mine. They are mine. It's mine. But I've entrusted it into your care. God's word is entrusted into our care. Those are precious things to God. Like the parable of the stewards, the unprofitable servant, as we call them now. He gives one talent, one five, one ten talents, expecting that you are a good steward. A good steward will not just keep what he has been given, he will multiply it. He will make it effective. He will use it well. A good steward will multiply what he has been given. If he's given the word will not stay with him, it will grow in other people's lives. If he's given lives to oversee, it will remain one or two people that he was given to do. He will raise them well. He will teach them well. He will properly disciple and mentor them and multiply. That's a good steward. A good steward. I asked a guy one time. I said, when you took over this church, they gave you, he said they had about 15 members. Okay. Now it's about 3 years. You said you want to put it down and go to do something else. And you claim God has called you to do something and go elsewhere, leave the country. I said, so how many people are you now handing over? And he said, well, though all the 15 were meant to have been there, but just about 12 have remained. I said, that wherever you are going with a CV of unfaithfulness. Nothing multiplied. Nothing increased in your hands. Nothing. So these are resources. God's word is his resource. These are his resources. Valuable things in his heart, in his hands. God's people are his resources. What does God do in the earth? God redeems men, gives them a beginning in his new creation. He saves them. How does he do it? By his word, through his spirit. Who does he walk with? He walks through the same people he has redeemed. He saves Moses to save others. He saves Joshua to save others. He saves Peter to save others. He gives them his word and his spirit. So, whether you are talking about disciples, souls, there is resources. The word is resource. The move of the spirit, the things of the spirit, is resources. They come with other things, financial resources, time resources, different things. As you change the way you see things in this conference, change it. I trust you are doing that. Change the way you see people under your care. Change the way you see the word that you hear. Change the way you see the prophecies you have received. Change the way you see the gifts of the Spirit. They are resources that should be harnessed and used to bring in a harvest. Are you still there? I'll repeat what I said again. What is God doing in the earth? He's saving men who are meant to save others through people. How does he do it? By his word, by his spirit, within a space of time. Nobody has all the time to do anything. You don't have all the time to do everything. I told a guy years back, he reminded me last year, June or July. He said, you told me then, when I told you, Pastor, I'm just 18. And I said to him, you will not be 18 this time next year. This was quite some years ago. Hey, you won't be 18 this time next year. He said, well, I said, you think you have the time to waste time? You don't. You will not have all the time to pray. You will not have all the time to build a good character for yourself as a Christian. You won't have all the time to learn endurance, patience. You won't have all the time. Even if you are building a family, you won't have all the time to build a family, raise your children properly, nurture your relationship properly. So you must be cautious about time. Ephesians 5:15. Paul says we should walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Do not be unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. So you cannot use time stupidly. You can't have time for everything. In the parable of the ten virgins, the critical thing there was you don't have time. Don't think you have time. And so they wasted time. The time they had gone thinking they would go and get oil. By the time they were back, there was no time. Then he says, don't you know the time of your visitation? Together with that parable, you need to know the time. You cannot have time all the time. Time is a resource. Time is an asset. There are people that don't have that time again. Some are dead. Some cannot do what you are doing again. Some, their time has passed in energy, in the kind of zeal and zest that you have. You don't have that time all the time. So use it well now. Use it well. Use it well. I remember one time that I went to preach at Odobo Barracks, I think, yeah. Myself and two of my friends. We went on behalf of Reverend Oaks to preach. It's 1995, about 26 years now. And, we had good meetings. I think it was 2 days. Great meetings. And this army officer, a senior officer, was like a chaplain. So he called us and we began to weep. And then he says, when I look at you folks, I remember when I was young. And I had enough time then to have built the ministry, to have, developed myself in the ministry. But it took me a longer time because I wasted it. He began to pray for us, seeing that we're young. And he believed that, we should not get entangled. The things we got entangled with. But the point he said that day, he said, now I wish I did things earlier. So you see that the time you have is what someone doesn't have anymore. You don't act like you have all the time. You don't have all the time. So, time itself is an asset. It's a resource. Don't make it a liability. The man God has given to you in your care, don't think you also have all the time. God wants you to quickly raise them, quickly teach them, quickly mentor them. Don't waste time. There's no time. Mentor them. Pray for them. Groom them. Don't waste time. There's no time. He's giving you his word. His word is not giving you to be doing quotes all over the place. It's not for quotes. It's to practice, to act upon, and to ensure it increases in the lives of people. These are assets. Assets, resources given to you. You don't have all the time to fulfill prophecy. Someone's telling me, say, I have them written down. You have prophecy written all over the place, but you are acting on none. There's coming a time, if after you have misused accurate, genuine prophecies, you will start getting alataswere prophecies. You know alataswere prophecies? Alataswere, pepe prophecy. Pepe chicken prophecy. And I can see a giant in you. And you are that giant. that giant in Kadesh Barnea, I can see a giant in thee. And you'll be getting fake prophecies. Since you have misused, underused, abused genuine ones. Like we saw in Romans 1. God gave them up to their lust, their vile affections. He gave them up to idol worship. Use it well. Use it well. Take the prophecies as you leave this conference. Think about it. Pray over it. Use it well. Use it accurately. Use it doggedly. 1 Timothy 1:18. Prophets have gone ahead concerning thee, that with them thou mayest wage a good warfare. Why is Paul reminding Timothy of prophecies? 1 Timothy 4:14. He says, neglect not the gift that is in you, which was given thee by prophecy, and laying out of the hands of the presbytery. We what people try to explain that place. It's not like the man gave him the gift. It's already in him. He only stirred it up. And we go back and forth wasting our time. Which was given thee. Simple. Simple. 2 Timothy 1:6. Tell the gift which is in thee by the putting on of, by giving thee by the laying on of my hands. In you. Such things require reminders. What have you done with the prophecies? What have you done with the instruction of the Spirit? Don't forget, you will not have all the time. There are people that don't have that time. See, the number of days you have spent here. You have spent number of days here, praying with and upon the Lord, vigorous, intense activities to build your life, your ministry, and the lives of others. And in the name of Jesus Christ, it will not go in waste in Jesus' name. You have done that. But you know, there are people who are genuine in their hearts, but they don't have that time. They don't. By the reason of their different entanglements, engagements, things that they can't put away, they don't have that time again. They don't have it. I will never forget. My dear brother, this is a painful one, but the Lord knows what I'm talking about. The Lord knows what I'm talking about. Where he was on the deathbed about to pass on. So, she now came to him, and about 20 years ago now, right? And she now gave him scripture. You know these things now, like, this is something you have, I mean, this is someone we used to hold healing meetings together, practice the word. She said, you know these things now, look at the word. He said something. He said, "Ko easy banyemo." It's not that easy. This is something he had done. But because he had backslidden and all of that, he said, yes, I mean, he got right back before he died. But the truth, it wasn't as easy as earlier years. It is not going to be that way all the time. Look at, even your physical body is not going to be that way all the time. It's not going to be all the time. So you should use the time you have now. Use it well. Your earlier days, use it to lay solid and sound foundation. Build good relationships. Nurture them well. Don't waste relationships. One spot on that bounce all over the place. I purposely posted something a couple of months ago about Bishop David Oyedepo and Pastor Adeboye. How they nurtured a relationship for about 40 years or so. I said, how many of us have such relationships? They will have jumped to 5 different people along the line. If you find out anybody they relate with, both of them, there are people that relate to both of them. They've nurtured it. I'm not in any way endorsing anybody's position. I'm just telling you that you should be able to nurture things. And don't jump from pillar to post. Everybody cannot be your friend. Everybody cannot be your pastor. Every teacher of the world cannot be your pastor. Every church cannot be your church. Stay in one place! Every house can be your house. Stay in one place and build one. Every teacher of the world cannot be your teacher. Stay in one place. Take one and stay there. And stay there. You can't read every book. The book of all books. Have you even read the Bible? You can't. You have to stay in one place. Some told me, say, I want you to, there's one fellow, you know, that guy is sound. I said, sound called sound system name. The ones I have I read it? Because Because the more you bring my way, the more I have to be faithful with them. Stay in one place. You don't have that time. Because don't forget, there's coming a time you won't have the time you think you have. There are people that don't have that time. I said, some are dead. Some are so ill, they can't do what you are doing again. Some are so fast gone in age, they can't do it. You don't have all that time. If you are building a career, do it with diligence and on time. Building a business, do it diligently and on time. Don't jump from one place to another. You got into cryptocurrency, you're excited. The moment there's any stress, you jump to another thing. You jump into, you are jumping everywhere and you cannot gather anything. You went into farming. You did one. As soon as there was a small problem, anytime there's a small problem, you change career. Small problem, you change business. Small problem, you change relationship. Small problem, you change husband. Amen? Small problem, you change wives. Oh, wife. Small problem, will you change children too? That jumping, you can't stay with something and watch it grow, nurture it into stability. Stay there. Look at major enterprises in the world. In the world. There are people who have gone through hell and high waters. You see them on the media thinking that things just went smoothly. I said, no, I told one the story of one of such men. I said, look, this man at some point, he lost so much money when he was committing suicide. Today you see him do great things in the commercial world. You think it just happened overnight. I remember one thing Kerry Copeland said. So somebody came to him one day and said, wow, how did you just grow overnight? He said, over what? It must have been the longest night in history. He said, you call 35 years night. 35 years a night? No. Stay there. No choice. I told someone one day, I said, you are everywhere. I said, stay with something. Even if it's LLC, let it grow. Stay. Okay. They call your church a cult. Stay there. Let that cult grow well. Stay there. No choice. You don't have the time that you think you have. Your career. You have the time now. Go for your postgraduate courses. Do it quickly. Gather all the resources, all the knowledge. Of course, keep doing it. But you won't have all that time. Have you seen yourself do postgraduate course years after you left school? And you are straw. No, there's straw good, there's straw. Straw. You're just strawing. I should do this. Just to read. You are reading and you are reading one page four times. I said, what's going on? It shows you don't have the same time. Now, if you are in those days, when you are reading your school books, you are reading because you want to write exams. Now you are reading. Your bills are on the page. Different things are appearing on the, they are not written there verbatim. But by the Spirit, you can be reading them. It shows you don't have all the time. You don't! In those days, when you are in the, you just said, in the next 5 days, I'm just gonna spend 8 to 10 hours praying in tongues around campus. 12 hours around campus. And so you'll be praying in tongues over campus. Because there's nothing else in your head but souls. As you're praying now, just see, come a text. We are still expecting that delivery. As you're praying, say, Lord, take control. So you see, you don't have that time all the time. Use it well. Time is a resource. Start to value time. Value it. Value the time you have. Many times, some of us lose friends before we value them. It's only a fool that values something when he has lost it. You lose access, then you value it after. Things you will have gotten easily. I told someone, I said, you know, for this man of God, he used to practically walk into his house. You will be together. When the ministry then was growing, said, now you misuse it. Now you are signing form to go there. I said, think and make sure that this experience of yours, you share it with young people so they won't make that mistake.
Use access well.
If a man gives you his number, a woman of God gives you a number, don't misuse it. Use it well. Use it well. You have a respectable preacher on your phone contact, and you are so stupid when you are sharing all those broadcast messages. You should, even in your madness, you know, some, you know, people that are insane always look at the cars when they are passing. You should have some sense. Ah, Reverend so and so is on the contact. Let me then send those stupid things here. Don't misuse it. The person now takes his number and blocks you. You say, he's not Christ-like. Whatever you like, say he has blocked you. Why were you blocked? Because you are eyes blocked. That's it. Use it well. Someone told me, and in those days, one hour, you sit down together, and she will cancel me. He will talk to me. I said, what did you do with it? That's what I want. What did you do with those days? What did you do with them? You misused them. You went to his house to go and be glorifying Chelsea. How would you do that? More, you know, I was reminded by the Holy Ghost a few minutes ago, you have not spoken about Chelsea in this conference at all. I said, Lord, I obey. We'll build a team that nobody can play against. We can see it now. You misused it. You misused those times. And I say, some people, the men of God, they are acting like they are demigods. Whatever you like call them, you misuse the opportunity. What I do when I have respectable people that I know, even in the secular world, I've told you before, nobody hates honor. You see, those people preaching against it, sometimes you preach against what you know you cannot have. Nobody hates it. Black and white, green, Caucasian. What's green? Everybody likes it. Everybody knows the effect. When I have those numbers, I don't call them like that. I'll send a text. Sir, can I call you? A very respectable Nigerian who was my father's boy. You know, they gave me his number on something we could do together. I sent a text to him. He now called me. Ah, you're my teacher's son. Just like this year, and we spoke. I said, okay. I said, yes, sir. So the next time, he now sent me somewhere to bring a message back to him. I sent him a text again. Sir, when is it okay to call you? Ah, he just called me back. Sir, my boy. Because that's how I say government college. My boy. You can call me all the time. I'm not an idiot. You see, imagine, this is how I say it. I wish next conference will have a screen. Some of you can't see me like I want you to see me. Imagine, come here, Pastor Stephen. Imagine, your boss goes, sees you in the next, in the office, and says, Steve, oh. And you say, yes, sir. And he now puts his hand around you like this. And he says, how are you? He's the MD. You are just an intern. And he says, yeah. And, you know, how are you? How are you? How's was it? Very fine, sir. So the next day, because he had done the first time, you now see him. Boss, oh! Like this. How are you? How is your family? Thank you. You know, something is missing in your brain. A wise man, even if they give you a wide land, you will use just a small portion. That's being smart. Use access well. When they now deny you the access, don't say they are evil. They are not evil, they are only wise. Send a text. Can I call you, sir? Can I? Use it well. Whatever you see, life is a privilege. You hear me? Love is a privilege. People love you, it's a privilege. People give to you, it's a privilege. People give you the honor to mentor them, it's a privilege. People are mentoring you, it's a privilege. If you start seeing things that way, number one, don't forget, you have an entitlement culture. I'm not just talking about ministry. Are you following what I'm saying? I'm talking about life generally. A privilege. Use it well. Use it properly. These are resources. Resources. He's a fool that wastes resources and now values it after. The same capital some of us have been given, and we blew it. They gave you working capital. You went to sow seed in church. Well, you will get the forest. That is not offering. That's someone else's money given to you to use and bring back the profit. That's not, there's no leading of the Spirit that will make you spend capital. Amen? It's not the Spirit, or it's an evil spirit. Amen? Don't say, I'll just let that way. That leading, where it will take you to. Anyway, there's ministry everywhere. Did you hear what I said? Use it well. Use it well. Use it properly. They told you to be leading prayer. It's something that you will not always have if you are not careful. Lead it well. Use it well. Time, resources, assets, people, time, access, the word. If some of us, all we're doing when we're younger, was to just take the word and be posting it all over the place, you think we'll still be doing what we're doing today? The word doesn't come for you so that you can post it. It's so that you can act upon it and build it into people's lives. Use it well. It is required, verse 2, 1 Corinthians 4, in stewards, that a man be found faithful. Shout it out, say, I am faithful. That's not a shout. Shout and say, I'm faithful. Shout and say, I'm faithful. Faithful with time, resources, people, information, material resources, access, honor, loyalty, trust. I am faithful. It is required in a steward. Mommy found faithful. You have children. It is so that you are faithful. You have a husband, be faithful. You have a wife, be faithful. Be faithful with those things. Be faithful. Use it well. Don't lose things before you know their value. It's only fools that happens. Some of us have flunked opportunities to have reached more people because we were not faithful. Because of the way you spoke, you didn't speak well. Didn't talk properly. So you blew the chance. But God will give you another opportunity to do it properly. So you don't waste that opportunity. A platform. We all need platforms. What is platform? Platform are people in relationships that help your own gifts and calling to be fulfilled. Platform is not an evil word. God brings you to a local assembly to ensure that your gift is obvious and blesses the world. You go there and you split the place into two. You go there and you are doing gossip. God gives you relationship with people, men and women of God, so that in that association, it will blossom and such a way that the vision that's given upon your life will reach the world. You blew the chance by being silly. By just being unnecessarily exuberant and careless. But I trust God, as we said in the first night, there's a restoration. There's a restoration. Use it well. I was brought on a board of highly regarded scholars to work with them. And I said, remove my name from this list. I was the only African. They said, why? I said, you began ministry in 1970. And you are arguably the second youngest in the team. Where would you put my name there? As who? Grandchild? I said, no. Let me walk in the back room. I said, no, but you are doing a lot of work for us. It doesn't matter. One of them remarks, come down. He said, look. He said, sometimes people think Africa is backwards. He said, but the culture of honor is something the Western world really needs now. I said, who put my name here? No. I have a longer time. When a small boy begins to behave like a grandfather is about to die. Amen? I know my age. So my age, meaning, I know myself. I can't deceive myself now. If people are telling you, don't talk and do.
That is, if they are deceiving you, don't deceive yourself.
Are you in church? Shout, I'm faithful. Say it again, I'm faithful. Just a few days ago, before this meeting, one college of Bible schools said, well, we want to put one of our, before the name, the book is Name of Jesus. They said, you know, can we put that name, that book as one of our course content and all that? I said, not yet. Said, no, they said, well, we've already done it, Chris. So he said, what about that book? I said, not yet. Leave it. He said, give it time. No, we see the book can be. I said, no, give it time. Just a few days ago. Give it time. Why? He's a wise man that uses things wisely. Don't use it wrongly. Use it properly. Use access well. Use resources well. Don't spend your resources lavishly. Don't waste the access. Don't waste the relationships. Use it wisely. Say, I'm wise. I don't think I say I'm wise. Scream it out. Say, I'm wise. I'm faithful. Hallelujah. Shout and say, I have strength. Say, I have strength. Because you are young doesn't make you stupid. You can be young and smart, intelligent, honoring, honorable, with integrity, with self-control. You can be. Timothy was a young man in scripture, but he was the example of the believer. Use it well. Don't waste access. Don't waste resources. People have come into your church. They are there. Don't misuse and abuse them. Use it well. Use it well. So when it says, it's required so the man be found faithful, Eleazar comes to mind. Eleazar. Who comes to mind? Joshua comes to mind. Who comes to mind? Samuel in the house of Eli comes to mind. Who comes to mind? Elijah comes to mind. Who comes to mind? David keeping his father's sheep comes to mind. Who comes to mind? Timothy comes to mind. Use it well. Don't, you are in a local church. God wants you to be part and parcel of those who make the church work, make the ministry work. At this time and season, Nigeria and Africa, all over the world, it is a privilege that we are alive now to see God's move in all the earth. Don't use this time to be doing gossip, to be creating stupid camps, to be doing strife all over the place. To partner with people to fight other people. Stupidity. If you have a relationship with people to fight others, you will soon fight yourselves. I don't have such useless, aimless associations. Use it well. Use it well. Use it well. Be faithful. Be faithful. Your marriage. Don't use your marriage for gossip in the church. Don't use your premarital relationship to foster strife. Use it well. Let it be a positive influence in the church and the society. Can I have an amen? Be that faithful man. The local church and the assemblies that we are in. One important fact, I've said it to you many times. I said it also when I was in law of laying of hands. It's called the law of recognition. You must recognize who is who. Before I engage anybody in a conversation, I first of all recognize who is this person. So I don't tell you what you don't need to hear. I don't tell you what is not your business. You must recognize who is who. Who are you talking to? Of what purpose is discussing a pastor with his flock? Of what purpose is you discussing your flock with another pastor? What is the relevance? What is the point of you discussing a brother in church with your husband? Is your husband his pastor? What is the purpose of discussing a sister in church with your wife? Is your wife her pastor? Recognize who you are talking with and what the conversation is all about. Any relationship, marital, non-marital, business, friendship, sibling relationship that has no barrier is open for the devil. That has no limit. We should have a limit as to what we don't do, what we don't say, what we don't converse about. Simple. I've said it over the years. Pastor Lai is here. There's nobody here that we have been in ministry together like herself. By next year, we'll have been working together. It means for 24 years, we don't discuss people. Not at all. Not at all. She's here. We don't. She doesn't discuss whatever she discusses in the church with me are people under her care. Simple. No abuse of relationship and association. Don't do it. Don't do it. You must have the law of recognition. Am I talking as a friend? Then we discuss friendship matters. Am I talking as a business person? We discuss business issues. Am I talking as a brother? We discuss brotherly issues. Am I talking here as a pastor? No. So I mustn't mix a business relationship with a spiritual one. Familiar relationship, family relationship with a spiritual one. I must be smart. 1 Thessalonians 5. We are going to build strong local churches. These are basic things that we must imbibe. Can I have an amen? 1 Thessalonians 5 and 12. He says, know them. Know. Know them which labor among you. I beseech you. Know them. Know who is who. Somebody said something one day. He said, I just want you to, it was a guy that, I don't know how I met him, but he said something to me. He said, I don't want to know, what do you think about what this man of God has said? He posted something on Facebook to me. I said, who is he to you? He said, no, it's nobody, just somebody I met on Facebook that teaches the word. I said, is that a relationship? That's not a relationship. I said, who is this person to you? He said, he's just a guy. I said, do you know him? He said, no. I said, go and listen to your pastor. Do you know this person? He said, no. Paul says, know them that labor among you, who are over you in the Lord. The Greek word there is eido, E-I-D-O. It carries like a fourfold meaning. Number one, have knowledge. Number two, always recollect. Always recollect. Number three, appreciate. Appreciate. Have the knowledge of who the person is. Who is the pastor here? Who is in charge here? Always recollect it all the time. That means never forget. Number three, appreciate. Appreciate. Value it. And finally, be aware all the time. So, eido is a consistent consciousness that you must have. Now, this also delves into very important issues. Because the word also means to be fully aware. And when you do that, you do not foolishly make comparisons. I say, this pastor is not like that pastor. Then go to that pastor. The pastor you have created in your likeness and image. Go there. Don't make stupid comparisons. Don't put your church pastors and leaders under stupid pressure. Stay where God has put you. Be faithful there. Know the people over your life. Know who is who. Who is this person? Does he have authority over your spiritual life? Someone say, I thought all ministry gifts have authority over all believers. Something must be missing in your brain. Who is this person? Who is that person to you? Very vitally. Who? Who? Know them. Know that are over you in the Lord. They are over you. It is said they are over the body of Christ. Can I have an amen? Over you. You. In the Lord. They admonish you. They teach you the word of God. They bring you up. Then it says in verse 13, esteem them very highly. That's where we have the word reverend from. Esteem them very highly. In love for their work's sake. When that happens, there's peace amongst us. Who is that person? Who is she? Who is he? Not every person's words has weight in my mind. Not everybody's words have weight in my mind. But there are people, even when I don't like what they are saying, their words weigh heavily because of who they are.
because of who they are.
There is a who in your life, and you know it by the what they do and why they are involved in your life. Are you in church? Like what Bishop Ladona husband said a while back, watch the voices that you allow into your life. Is this the voice of the Spirit of God? So in the work of the ministry, like we said earlier today, you ensure that as you are planting the work, you plant yourself as the seed. Let me say this. And hear what I'm about to say. I'm saying this both to those who are in our local assembly, since community church, the way where I pastor with others, and those who are also pastors elsewhere. We're all working together, trusting the Lord that His word will grow in the earth, bless nations. But hear what I'm about to say. We don't advertise vacancy in ministry. Hear what I'm about to say very well. We don't recruit people to do the work of the ministry. We don't. That is not the Great Commission. We don't recruit people. You go on Facebook, you go on Twitter, trying to recruit followers. Recruit people. And who are you recruiting? You recruit those who have already been taught, who are already trained, who are mentored, who are raised. Then you go and recruit them. A very, very good way is you look at wherever they are fellowshipping, or wherever they are doing, whatever churches are around, and you start to look at the faults around the body of Christ. It's a very smart way of doing it. Look at the faults around the body of Christ in Nigeria, in America, in Europe, because that's what you want to do. You begin to look at the faults. Hey, this is not how ministry should be done. What you want to do, you want to recruit people. You need men and women who already have the resources you need for ministry. So you take on the toga of somebody who wants to deliver the body of Christ. But your intention is to recruit people. You are on a recruiting mission. Human resource recruitment. That is not the ministry. We are told to go and make disciples. Not to recruit disciples. It's a gimmick. When you see a man consistently stay in the media and you go off the media, you cannot see him training people in real time, working hard, vigorously to build men in real time. You are finding a recruiter, not a discipler. You want to recruit people who have already been taught, trained, built up. It's a gimmick. And if you build ministry around such men, it will fall later. A house that is peaceful, the bastards have not yet grown up. You should go and raise, not recruit. There is a difference between raising disciples and recruiting disciples. When you are raising disciples, you take them raw. I say it often. Look at all our pastors. Some of them we've been together 18 years, 20 years, 17. I will tell you the history of their spiritual lives. History. For so many of them, history. Don't go and recruit, raise, train. Train. Don't go out on people that have been trained. That's what some of you say. I have a disciple, but he's in another church. Are you listening to yourself? You have a disciple in another church. Is it grammar that is your problem? Or you are joking? You can't have a disciple in another church. The fact that he or she is another church is a fact that you have no disciple. Disciple is the one that you have raised, not recruited. I'll take it again. When you see someone and they are trying to look for force in all the churches, it is to raise. I told someone, I said, go and do what you want to do. You just want to start a church. He said, I know that you want to start a church. That's what you want to do. I said, let me tell you a story. As a younger Christian,
I was so zealous for the Lord. I'm still zealous. And that's how a man told us, ah, look, he wants to win, he wants to do a crusade, then he could do. So I was part and parcel. I walked home. I drilled my hall to the work. We did the crusade. We went from house to house. We were chased out of some places, gave out the flyers, got people to be involved in what we're doing. I didn't know the man's intention was to come and use a crusade to start church. He didn't tell anybody. I was so zealous. Throwing all the work. We had it at the police barracks on the Bobo Road. And so I didn't know that people pay attention to offering during crusade. I didn't know. I was looking at souls. At the end of the crusade, that's how I didn't know the man had gone around all the people I brought and those that even came to recruit them for his new church. I didn't know. We were having prayer meeting together. Brethren are very interesting. None of them told me anything. When I now comforted him, I said, how come he didn't even tell me this man told you he was going to start a church? He said, I thought you knew. I said, you thought I knew. Did you thought you knew him before I thought I brought it to you to thought I know it? He recruited all of them. And by the Sunday, they started a church. I heard about it. Ah! So the people, the Christian Association of Nigeria and PFN then thought that I was part of the plot. I said, I didn't know. He said, you didn't know what? Where did the offering go? He said, the man brought people to collect offering. And we were not aware where the offering went to. They were particular about that. I said, I didn't know. But the church didn't even last. First service. Imagine, their very first service. They had overflow. First service. That will not be a good sign, though. The day of Pentecost, we were 120. First service. Taking members right, center, left. Was recruiting, not raising. That's it. Where are your disciples? There's one guy, I teach the word every Tuesday and Thursday. But for now, it's another church. You are not serious. Not serious. So, we are to make disciples. Matthew 28:18-20. Making disciples, verse 19. It means not to recruit men, but to train them. Jesus used men that he trained and tested. But watch this quickly. He was the example of what he was raising them to do. In Luke 2, we saw Jesus from verse 40 through to 52. We saw how he himself was discipled, was found in the temple, stayed there, and the parents were even looking for him. And scripture says, he sat at the feet of the doctors of the law. Luke 2, of the doctors of the law. And in verse 46, sitting in their midst, hearing both hearing them and asking questions. Questions. Is there learning? Asking questions. 3 days. Asking questions. They were astonished, verse 47, at his understanding. Sunesis in the Greek. And his answers. So, he has shown us a template. You will see that in latter text, you see, this is what Luke is showing you. Jesus sat at people's feet, and later others are now sitting at his feet. Acts 22, verse 3. Paul sat at the feet of Gamaliel. Others are now sitting at his feet. So, he was first the model. Imagine somebody showing up in your university and say, I'm your new professor of hematology. Ah, what? What's your background? Which university do you attend? None. Who are your lecturers? None. First degree? None. How did you become a professor? I just believe God that is who I am in Christ. No.
You must have been taught before you teach others. 2 Timothy 2:2. Things you have heard of me among many witnesses. The same commit unto faithful men who shall be able to teach others. Can I have an amen? Is the model of what he is. In Luke again, chapter 5. Luke 5. We see him as the model of prayer. Verse 16. He withdrew into the wilderness and he prayed. Luke 6 and verse 12. He continued prayer all night. So he's the model. Model of how to be discipled. Model of prayer. Model of fasting. He goes everywhere preaching and teaching. Mark 4, 35 and 34. Sorry, Matthew 4, 35 and 34. Is there teaching. Teaching. Or 24, sorry. And 23 and 24. Is there teaching. Before he sent them out to reach the lost, he was a first model soul winner. It's the model. The model. Teaching and preaching. In good conduct. In speech. In morality. In uprightness. He is the model of what they saw. So you are the first seed of discipleship. He's the one, he ministered to the sick. They saw it. When he asked them to have priorities for the kingdom of God, and he said to them that he that will be my disciple must lay aside everything, take up his cross and follow. They saw it in him. When his siblings came to church and they stood at the door, I want to see my son. I want to see my brother. I want to see my... He said, who is my brother, father? And said, these are the ones. They saw the model first in him. They saw he had nowhere to lay his head. They saw his commitment. So when he said, he that puts his hand on the plow and looks back is not fit for the kingdom, he was the model of what he was talking about. Model. Model. So, you have that responsibility. In discipleship, what you are doing is multiplying yourself. So he has told us to go and make it. Make disciples. Make it. We make disciples with our own substance. Jesus had a substance of discipleship, substance of prayer, substance of teaching, substance of healing the sick, good character, good conduct, commitment and dedication. That is what he now imparted into people. I told you, teaching is different from training. There's teaching in training, training is very different. 1 Thessalonians 2, he said, we have not just imparted you the gospel, but our own very lives. So in making disciples, look at that word Matthew 2. It's a word used to train people. You don't feel bad at this, but there is a training you give to somebody who wants to become an accountant that is different from one who wants to become a lawyer. A medical doctor, different from a pharmacist. An educationist is different. Very different from an engineer. The trainings are different. There's a way you make, there was someone like that. I said, come and help us make ikokore, one of the best meals in the world. And the guy said, there's no big deal now. Shebi is the same way with Asaro. I say Asaro ko ilaroni. Is Shebi? But they look alike. Look alike? No! Recipe is different. The way you make it is different. Very different. Very, very different. I ask some people to make a goosey jebu. They've been struggling. I don't want to mention names. Struggling! When they make it, I'm praying, oh God. So I will take up serpents. The big angel should not hurt me. How? What? Proper jebu person made it. I said, see, come and taste it. This is a goosey jebu. A goosey jebu. You need impartation for this manifestation. So that recipe There is a way to make it. There is a way it is done. You don't do jollof rice the way you do Indomie. I hope so. Because some of you, your jollof rice is concussion. There's concussion, there's concocky. There are different ways. So when it says go and make disciples, it has its own recipe. You cannot use a recipe for jollof rice and expect to see porridge. No. The first thing is ask yourself, what do I want to make? What do I want to make? What kind of people am I trying to make? There are different kinds of churches. Different kinds of churches. One time that girl I went for, I was on the campus then, and I went to a fellowship. Because my thing was that, even though I was passionate outside campus, I felt that you belong to a local assembly on campus. So I went to a church, and they taught quite fine. I said, and they said, if you're a first timer, come. First timer. Of course, I went to a church like that, and then they said, first timer should come outside, and I came outside. And they put us in one lovely place. Jollof rice, chicken, dodo. That's fried plantain. They gave us cake also, and they gave us drink. I said, I'm coming back here again. I like this discipleship. The next week I was back there. Of course I tried to look different. Somebody was looking at me closely. I said, if you look at me again, God will judge you. The steadfast of the Lord are new every morning. I'm only renewing my commitment. I went to a place. It's a first timer. So they took all of us on the stage like this. The first timer. I came there. So I was wondering what they were going to do with us. And they say, so they now put all the HODs now came to us. Come and join my department. You know, you're looking cool. It was like a joke. So come and join my department. And you know, we can, on this campus, you know, we are the happening guys. You know what I did? As they were doing it, I was on the stage. I just walked out of the door. I mean, the service was still going on. I just walked out of the door. I look back. Remember Lot's wife. Is that how it is done? You just bring me to a department so that we can be happy. No. But that is the kind of church they want. That's the recipe. That's the recipe. Attract people. Lure them. Every man will get the seed that he has sown in the harvest. So ask yourself, what kind of a church? Is it a celebrity church? A celebrity church? Oh, where you celebrate human acclaim. Celebrity church. That your focus is to have socialites. Socialites. You want people that are high octane socialites in society. It's also a vision. So you have your recipe. Because there's a way to have some people in your church. You cannot give them the training of scripture to get that. You will have to mix it up. Put some spiritual things, some natural things, some attractive things. Someone told me, I'll have stayed in your church. I love the teaching. He said, but can't you reduce the activities? The prayer is too much. The teaching on a Sunday morning, 2 hours hearing the word. And even he said, even the seats are not as comfortable. I said, did I beg you to come? What's his lamentation about? He said, no, I'm not saying, I'm just saying, making a suggestion. Suggestion? Who asked for your suggestion? I said, look down the road. There are places you can go to and they welcome you with open arms. Celebrity church. Is that what you want? Is that what you want? You'll now be taking pictures of people and what they want to service. Wow. Drop dead gorgeous in the church. And you say you are dying. Is it a celebrity church? Or a church where you want high profile intellectuals or societal figures? That could be a vision. It's a vision. It's a vision. It's a vision on its own. The recipe is on its own.
You
now begin to, the first one, you'll be doing attractive things, things that celebrities like, showbiz. Every week you're having picnic, lunch, dinner date, church. Every time you are bringing one artist, bringing jokers, comedians, celebrity. That's what you want to make out of the church. So when they say, oh, who are the people in your congregation? You point us to one musician, you know, one artist, one actor. These are the proof of your ministry. It's not wrong, it's just what you desire. Or, I network individuals in society. So you mix the whole thing up. You bring in some acceptable norms in society. You do some seminars. Stress seminar. Seminars. Emotional intelligence seminar. Different kind of meetings. It will show in your meetings. You do different things. You bring unbelievers to the place. You can do political conferences. You know, that is, it's a vision on its own. But it has its own recipe. The day you start emphasizing soul winning, they will not come. The day you start emphasizing prayer, intense prayer, of course there are some prayers that they will come around for. Because they are facing battles in life. Jericho hour. They will show up. Crossing your Red Sea. Prayers for thee now. But you say, we are praying for the nations. We are praying for you to be born again. You say, Pastor, I'm not called to the ministry. I know my ministry. That's not my ministry. That's a kind of church. Or a church where people just are entertained. Like Olamide said, are you not entertained? Simple yes or no. So you want to have people who are entertained. So every church service, you are looking for something new. Someone said something to me. He said, the way I was trained in ministry, our backdrop then, said our backdrop must change every service. We must do something new. Because people must see a lively atmosphere. Okay. That's another kind of church. We must have a lively atmosphere. What are we going to do newly in this year? This is 2022, guys. So that people will not be bored. You know, what can we do afresh? There's something we did in my company, sir. That thing was lovely. We all went to the beach side. That's how we saw Mami Water come out of the water. Everybody was really surprised. And they didn't leave the company afterwards. So we should go and look for Mami Water. It may not come out. But we can use this sister as the Mami Water for that purpose. I didn't point to anybody. You say, let's get people excited. That's another kind of discipleship. An excited church. Or you can also have a youth church. Now, youthful is different from youth. Youthful is that you're full of zest and vigor. You have Caleb at the age of 8. I still feel youthful. That's not what I'm saying. Just young people who just want to be excited generally. And so, you are feeding the youthful exuberance. It's another way. It's different things. Different things. You know? Oh, a church where people are, they are competing and contesting in the finance sector, in the IT sector, in the commercial sector. It's another kind of church. But don't forget, you cannot mix some recipe. You have to choose what you want to make. What you want to make. Or is it a church of the book of Acts? The word, prayer, fasting, evangelism, good character and good conduct makes a lot of sense. Purity, walking in love, flowing with the Spirit, being led by the Spirit, making disciples. It has its own recipe. It has its own ingredient. The moment you put something strange in it, it will pollute everything you are doing. So make up your mind what you really want to do. If I'm called to preach anywhere, sometimes people who I asked, there was a pastor that called me recently, I preached for him in Abuja also, and I got there, I said, sir, interestingly, I didn't see the invitation letter. And I asked him, what is the theme? I said, don't bother yourself. I know what I will always do. Just give me the thing. Anything you give me, as long as it's not in adulation,
don't worry yourself.
One of the things my friend told me, I'm 1992, about November, TJ, he said, never get ready, leave ready. I said, I'm ready. Just tell me the text. Tell me the emphasis that you want. I don't need 2 hours to teach. I don't even need 10 minutes. Just tell me within 30 seconds, I'm ready. Because I know what I will do. I know it. So there's no mixture. I'm not trying to mix. No, I know what I will say. I know what I will not say. Of course, I won't come there and cause division and cause confusion. No, that's what I'm talking about. But if it's the word, I will teach it. If it's to flow with the Holy Ghost, it will happen. If it's to bless lives, that will happen. Don't bother yourself. Just give me the text. Tell me what exactly. I live ready. So, make up your mind. What kind of disciples do you want to raise? So you don't get on social media, get on TV or what TV, or and you want to be what everybody is doing. No. I'm not saying you're trying to be unique, no. Don't be unique, but if you are unique, don't be ashamed. Not to set out to be unique. No, but if you are unique, don't be ashamed. If you are different, don't be ashamed. Make up your mind. I tell them in Saints Community Church, our vision is clear. Very clear. Our church is like a Bible school. Where you come to learn Bible theology, the work of the ministry, how to be a good minister of Christ. That is all. Other things that we do, you know, in teaching people about their marriages, about raising children, about how to do things properly, is because of that work that they are doing. It's not different. It is towards the same end. No mixture. There's no anywhere, go and check all my sermons in at least 27 years. Or 28. I will always have the element of inspiring people to do the work of the ministry. Go and check all in any circumstance, any situation. I was called to the chambers of a very popular synagogue in Nigeria. That was in 2006 or so. A very, very, very highly reputable man. He said, come and share. It was a Christmas period like this. Just come and talk about Jesus. I did 2 things. I got people born again, and I also inspired them to do evangelism in the chambers. I can't change my training. That is I'm not pretending, I'm not acting, I'm not doing it to please anybody. That is what I am called to do. So, make up your mind. You won't get and say, I think some people are now doing this. Let us do it. No. So, what kind of disciples do you want to raise? Don't forget, you first be the seed. I put an instruction here, don't mix it up. Don't mix things up. Our church is not a place where you learn about finances. No. Of course, about giving, about prudence, and all that will teach us according to scripture. It's not where you learn. No. No. That's beyond us. We don't come here and teach you science. I'm not a science student. I mean that literally and metaphorically. It's not here we come and teach you computer and start talking. I won't come here and start talking about vaccines. How? How? I can only tell you what I know. How? I won't come here and start talking to you about IT. I don't know it. And I'm not going to go and learn so I can teach you for what? If But if I start saying, some of you will be laughing. Pastor, stay with your Bible. Pastor, Pastor, Bible, 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 Bible. That area, sorry, sir. Leave matter for Matthias. Stick to what you are called to. Don't forget. Imagine if your examiner or your lecturer gives you a question and he says, the question is on so, so and so. I don't know why I'm talking about medicine today. And it's an histology exam. And you're supposed to answer the question. You are now saying, but why is this man not asking questions about COVID-19? Is he not concerned about what's going on in our world? Why is he not asking questions about the falling naira value? I must put it there. He has to read it. So you say, the reason why the naira has lost value. COVID, Micron, Delta variant. He has to read it at all costs. Why is he not concerned about the current affairs in the world? The man will get you a psychiatrist. You will first of all fail. That's the first thing. Say, but why are we not talking about this? Is that what you were called to do? Focus on the questions you are told to answer. Who asked you the question? Stick to what you are told to do. Don't mix it up. Your passion should not be turned to ministry. It is ministry that should become your passion. How would I know what I am raising? Look at the kind of emphasis in your teaching. What kind of emphasis do you have in your teaching? What kind of emphasis? Look at the kind of illustrations. There was a time I had to personally watch my illustrations because it was becoming elitist. Elitist. And before you knew it, you'll be inspiring men negatively. So I watch the kind of examples I give. I watch the kind of things that I can give an example without necessarily celebrating what I'm talking about. Cautiously and consciously. So there are things that I could have even said them from 6, 7, 8 years ago that I've removed totally in my illustrations. It's conscious because of the kind of meal you want to prepare. The kind of teaching emphasis. You can be talking sound doctrine and your emphasis is not sound doctrine. You can be talking redemption. And that's not really the emphasis. What's your illustrations? What's the kind of things you call proofs and results? It will also show in the kind of meetings that you have. Meetings. I learned ministry a lot from Kenneth Hagin. And I tell people the kind of meetings that I was trained and I was taught. I say it every time. One, prayer meetings. Two, teaching meetings. Three, evangelistic outreach and meetings. Healing services. Holy Ghost and believers meetings. We can put all of them together as we raise and also train ministers. Acts 13:1. I've been saying what I'm saying now for at least 26 or 27 years. No difference. Everywhere, either I was called to pastor or I founded the church, that has been the emphasis. Nothing has changed. A guy told me this. We used to call him Evan B. He said, Baba, you have just refused to change. I said, why should I? He said, no. I'm just telling you. I said, no. It is what a conviction is not up for bargain. Look at the illustrations. What kind of person are you to? What kind of person are you? Do you teach it and not do it? What kind of person are you? Look at your vision and your focus. Let me close and say this. Discipleship is done via meetings and activities. So let your meetings and your activities reflect the character of what you want to get. Don't forget how we started on this thing. Don't recruit people. Make disciples. Don't recruit. Make disciples. You want to have prayerful people. Don't go and look for prayerful people from other churches. Raise raw talents, raw men, pardon me, into prayerful men. You want to see people full of the Holy Ghost. Don't go and look for other churches and begin to text them secretly or send them Facebook messages and be giving them prophecies. I just perceive that this is the time and season for your season and harvest. Only go and raise the men. Make disciples. So I often tell ourselves, leaders and pastors, don't complain and say, I don't have people that are committed to prayer. I don't have people that are committed to giving. Raise them. Raise them. Raise them. Make them. He didn't say, go and look for givers. He didn't say, go and look for prayerful people. He didn't say, go and look for people that are full of the Holy Ghost. He said, go and make them. Make them yourself. Be committed to making them. The coming years, pastors, all pastors here, I give you this instruction. Watch your activities. Your personal activities. And the kind of activities in your ministry. Discipleship is raised in meetings and activities. What activities have you put out for this to happen? What kind of teaching do you emphasize? See, and I'll say this very clearly. Don't teach things because they are popular on TV. Mm-mm. Go and watch our library. The man told me last year, when there was the lockdown and all of that, he said, he was very, very truthful about this. He said, man of God, since church was not meeting, he said, I went to check our tapes library. There's nothing there that people can listen to at home and grow up without being in the service. He said, there's nothing. He said, but I observed that there's enough content, because he follows the things we teach in some way, that people can feel. Say, were you prepared for times like this? I say, I'm prepared for all times. We didn't set out to preach looking for what to say. We have a curriculum. We have what we must emphasize every year. What must emphasize any meeting. In every time. And we are not ashamed of it. Somebody went to Ibadan. And he put it on Facebook as in Twitter. And Pastor Ayo showed me that they came to the service. Was it like 5 years ago? So they said, they came to the service. Sit down. They said they came to the service, and then that they asked the guy to bring out his Bible. That and the guy didn't want to bring out his Bible. Said, no, you have to bring out. I said, how can they force? And the guy walked out of the service, and he said, what's the name of the church? So he said, the church is so 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 and so church. And can you imagine? Things have even gone bad in the body of Christ. Christians. Oh, how can you force people to bring Bible to the church? Is that church? They were saying it. And I said, maybe the rapture has happened. How can a Christian boldly write that? So he now came to me and said, they just saw it. So I said, ignore it. Social media is noise. Focus on your work. What's my own? My own is social media. I just go to social media to is extracurricular activity. This is my work. It's my work. This is what I do. It's my work. I don't see people following me as social media as a flock at all. I'm not confused. I'm not confused at all. My work are the people that come on Mondays to pray, Tuesdays, Wednesdays to hear the word, Thursdays to pray, Fridays to pray, come for vigils, come for teaching services, come those who are in the cell meetings, in the prayer. That is where my work is. Not accept my friend request. That's not my work. That's not the flock. Not, wow, I was so blessed. I was so blessed. Someone told me, he said, why did you remove my comments on your Facebook post? I said, why did you post it? He said, what do you mean by that? I said, what do you mean by that too? He said, don't I have a right to say something? I said, I also have a right to remove it. Are you saying I cannot say my mind? I said, no, Facebook said, what is on my mind? My name is on it. It's not on your mind. You think, you can't intimidate me, oh. And manipulate me. Say, hey, I thought you were a man of God. I said, your thoughts don't matter. It's his thoughts towards me that will peace and not of evil, not your thoughts. Your thoughts don't matter. Who your thoughts help? Tell me the value of your thought. How much is your thought? What's in your thought? How are you going to find your thought? Your thought is useless. Say, wow. I'm so disappointed. Who appointed you to be disappointed? Nonsense. Say, I've decided I won't come to your page again. Did I invite you? Ushisko. So, look at the activities. The activities that you are engaged with. The activities. The responsibilities that you are set out to do. Be focused on your work. The times we are in, I'll share that as we leave in the morning. In 2022, still the year of supernatural harvest for more. To strengthen local churches and be focused on the mandate that the Lord has given to us. Hallelujah. I said hallelujah. I said hallelujah. I said hallelujah. Don't go and recruit. Go and raise. Don't go and be poaching. Go and train. Be diligent at it. And the fruit will abound. Stand to your feet, pray in tongues. Stand to your feet, pray in tongues.